This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
It's hour number two of Three Man Front. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber, Conrad Van Order with you, keeping our eye on the transfer portal. It's that fun time of the year when coaches can go on the portal and do some Christmas shopping. Over 700 players currently in the transfer portal. Over the weekend, might have missed this, but Haynes King, one of the many quarterbacks for Jimbo Fisher.
Man.
He is in the transfer portal.
Thought he was the answer, Pat.
Apparently not.
Kept waiting for it. Just those nagging injuries.
Now, there is some good news coming out of Auburn in regards to the transfer portal. Hugh Freeze apparently has had conversations with Xavion Capers. I don't know why I have a problem saying his name. And Tavarish Dawson. Both of those guys apparently are going to come out of the portal. So the depth at wide receiver, that's something. And you know that Landon King had already come out of the portal. So Hugh Freeze met with those guys. So Nathan King is reporting, and it appears that those guys will be a part of the Auburn team moving forward.
And that's good. And, you know, I don't know how many other high profile guys that are out there, that Auburn could potentially get. And maybe it's just a matter of, you know, you get the right quarterback, the right system. Maybe that there's talent there. I mean, I'm not saying those guys aren't talented, but for those who said, hey, it's all a wide receiver problem. I mean, sometimes it's not a wide receiver problem. Sometimes it's other things.
Also coming out, Bo Nix has decided he will play in the bowl game for Oregon. So Dan Lanning said that this morning.
Hmm. Well, good. We'll see what that line looks like. Get back to your phone calls. 800-239-WJOX, 205-834-9450. It is Reaction Monday. Mailman, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Doing good. I got two things for you guys. I think what would be fun during the off season, if you guys would have a 12-team playoff for your best callers. Can you imagine Bama Hater going up against the Mailman? In the words of my little grandson, man, I would beat the brakes off of Bama Hater in a phone call, because all he talks about is every other team other than how his team is doing. Miami hadn't been relevant in over 20 years. Now, let's look at this top four teams for the playoffs. And he was saying, Mailman, sounds confusing, because what I told Cole and them this morning was that the nation as a whole has a little SEC fatigue, because the SEC has won 13 national championships since 2000. So I said, if I had to choose somebody, like I said, the Big Ten is not going to do it. They've choked in years to come. It just seems like right now TCU got resuscitated in a sense by being given an opportunity to get in the playoffs. And I'm also the parlay coordinator on my job, and my coworkers compensate me well for choosing and picking the right team. And TCU, if you look at the spread number, that's the best team to put your money on, guys. TCU will be the first team west of the Mississippi since 2005 to bring the national championship to TCU this year. What do you guys think?
Appreciate the phone call. Would that be the team as far as value? Yes, I could say probably, if you're looking for big value, because they're going to have the worst odds.
Yeah, they're plus 1,600 to win the national championship.
But no, I would still put my money on Georgia. I think Georgia's going to win the national championship. As far as if you would be able to overtake Bama Hater in a phone call or whatever, I don't know if you were specifically asking about that. But no. And here's the thing, when I ask about reaction, I don't have a problem with TCU getting in. I don't.
No, mine was Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Just that conversation.
Yeah, the Ohio State should have been Ohio State or Alabama, and I say Alabama. Yes, they have one more loss, but I go eye test.
And the number of top 25 wins that TCU had. Wasn't it like eight?
There's a bunch of them.
So even though some of those came down to the wire, they still won the game.
No, yeah, you're exactly right. And just to be able to come back and to force overtime was, I mean, pretty good down the stretch. Looking at Kansas State and looked like Kansas State. And by the way, Chris Klieman, wow, what a job you've done. I mean, Lance Leipold deserves recognition and praise. But Chris Klieman just steadily just building that thing,
Sure is.
Coming from North Dakota State and what he was able to do, pretty incredible.
Also, a transfer portal news, and it would be a graduate transfer, but Keaton Slovis is now in the portal from Pittsburgh.
He didn't like Pitt?
Guess not. You know, going from sunny Southern California to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not really sure where his market is going to be, but he is a graduate transfer.
Go back to the West Coast. Go play for Dan Lanning. Bo Nix leaves. Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe a school in the SEC. You can just start making your way around.
And want to remind everybody, since we are talking about the transfer portal, because I had to kind of brush up on my definitions and things last week because I had a lot of people text me and ask me questions about the transfer portal in general. So if you're an undergraduate and you have not transferred before, you can get in the transfer portal and you can go somewhere and you can be eligible to play immediately.
Right.
If you have already transferred once from the transfer portal as an undergraduate, you would have to sit out a whole full season, kind of like the old days. Remember back before the transfer portal?
Unless you're a graduate, unless you graduated since, right?
But yes, but if you're a graduate, you've already graduated, then you could be a graduate transfer and you could play immediately. So that's where Keaton Slovis, because he's already been as an undergraduate, transferred to Pittsburgh, but he's now received his degree from Pittsburgh. So he can now be a graduate transfer, and he could play immediately.
Yeah, we will get back to your text on the Jocks text line, Reaction Monday, 205-834-9450.
And one other thing I want to throw out, in case your coach gets fired. If your coach gets fired, you can leave that program immediately, and you can be eligible. That's the only caveat to everything that I just said.
There you go.
So like for Auburn. Example, your coach was fired, so someone from Auburn could leave. And
free game.
Yeah, go play wherever.
Jake texts in and says, I think Georgia, Michigan, Bama, and Ohio State are the four best teams, but let's be honest, Georgia would beat any of them. It's their year. Maybe so. We will find out. David says, why meet in Dallas for 5 days if they're just going to put teams in with the best record? Seems like a waste of time. We all know why TCU didn't drop. It's because of the rematch. Seems political as hell. Other people share that opinion. Connor says, hey, guys, love the show. We love you as well. Is this your son, Connor? Is that his number?
No, it is not.
Okay. If you go by the textbook, I guess you could say that you got the four right. But if you go with the eye test, reality, in my opinion, when you break down the schedule, Alabama would be both favored over Ohio State and TCU. This is true. And that's where going eye tests and things on the field. It's what fits that narrative for the college football playoff committee when they're talking about two specific teams. Brian texts into the show and says, yeah, I get it. OSU got in because of only having one loss. But that being said, Alabama would beat the out of them. Coming from a fan and a loser team called Auburn, a.k.a. Yellowwood University. All right. Steven asked a question, Landrum, are you ready for the Bahamas? I'm always ready for anywhere warm, but I will be not making that trip to the Bahamas.
Just hang out here in Birmingham come Wednesday and Thursday. It's going to be near 80.
I will be somewhere else that contractually I'd already agreed to. And, of course, that
contractually,
would...
Let's do them. It's like,
I did.
Wow.
I did sign a contract. But, yeah, that would be the case. It's not like they're going to play like, well, I don't want to be derogatory towards any of the other bowls. Let's just say it wouldn't have hurt as much had it not been the Bahamas. Murphy texts into the show and says, only players from a fired coach can leave and play immediately? No, that's not what Pat said.
No, you got to get a waiver, too.
Correct.
If you want to go play somewhere. It's not just, okay, coach got fired. Okay, I can go play anywhere. No, you have to provide a waiver and go through that. But that is another way for someone to be able to be eligible immediately if you are not a graduate.
Grumpy is in Huntsville listening on The Ump. Hey, Grumpy, welcome in.
Hey, thanks. You guys are doing a good job explaining the portal, but to help me understand, what would be an example of the longest career you could have in college? Like you said, you could graduate and transfer and not have to sit out. So let's say that you played 3 years somewhere and then you transferred as an undergraduate and you didn't have to sit out, and then you graduated and then you were going to go to master school and you had an injury. I mean, you know, like, I don't mean to be confusing here, but how long can you stay in college football now and still transfer?
Well, depends on how many medical red shirts, but everyone got the COVID red shirt.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Now you throw on the whole COVID year. So you get that additional year. So literally,
I'm guessing 8 years.
You could probably go maybe seven.
I think seven. I'm going to say eight because I don't know what kind of weird circumstances that are in there. But right, you could always apply for another, you know, medical red shirt. And thank you, Grumpy.
Well, just think about this. If you don't play over four games, then you could just take a regular red shirt. Okay.
Right.
And then you could potentially have a medical red shirt. Then you could get a COVID year.
Yep, you got the COVID year.
And then you could transfer somewhere.
That fires their coach.
And then you get a waiver, and then you get to go play somewhere else.
You take online classes.
And then you're a graduate transfer, so.
But never get a jersey.
Huh. We had someone on Twitter tweet at me, Daniel Arant, and he asked a good question. He says, how many kids from Colorado have hit the portal since the team meeting with Dion? We're going to get into that in our next segment of the show. And it's a great question, Daniel, because what he said in this meeting will shock a lot of people. But when you talk to people in the coaching business, it shouldn't be too shocking, because I think this conversation goes on a lot more in the business than you think. So we'll get into Dion, I promise, coming up in the next segment.
Speaking of Dion, other coaches talking this past weekend. That is presented in today's Coach Speak, presented by Pat's Archery and Outdoors.
They said, what?
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Damn sick and tired of getting out rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out.
And now, Pat's Archery brings you Coach Speak.
And Pat's Archery has everything for the sportsman this holiday season. Raven crossbows, Christensen rifles, and the new Matthews Phase 4 bow. 12-month Samus cast. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper. PatsArchery.com. Nick Saban with Marty Smith, courtesy of ESPN, in reaction to being left out.
Well, you know, we're obviously disappointed. We wanted to see our team have an opportunity to play and get in the playoffs. But, you know, we're going to get an opportunity to play someone somewhere in a good game, and that's going to be an opportunity for our players to create value for themselves and show what kind of team we really have. I think you learn a lot sometimes with disappointment and how you respond to it. There's always an opportunity in any adversity that you have to face. We obviously faced, you know, quite a bit this year, you know, in the middle of the season. And I think the players responded to it well. And this is going to be another opportunity for them looking forward to be able to respond in a positive way and build on the future.
Meanwhile, College Football Playoff Committee Chair Boo Corrigan, courtesy of ESPN, why Ohio State, not Alabama?
Well, I think you look at the big wins as well as part of this, and the win that Ohio State has over Notre Dame, the win they have over Penn State, compare that to Alabama with the wins over Texas, Mississippi State, some other close games. Again, keep in mind that the Michigan game did get away from them, but it was a one-score game early in the fourth quarter. And as we looked at the total body of work that we had, the committee was comfortable with Ohio State at 4 and Alabama at 5.
Okay, well, why not put USC in because of the way they looked in the first quarter versus Utah?
You think Boo's ready to give that up, the CFP chair?
Yeah, and he's probably, unfortunately, developed a drinking problem. I don't know that, but I think a lot of scrutiny being placed on as it has in other years, but especially this year with what we've gotten. Old Boo Corrigan. Meanwhile, Ryan Day. You think he's excited? Listen to this.
Oh, I mean, today there was just so much energy in the Woody. You could feel it when you walked in.
What?
Early on, we had a team meeting before the selection and had a staff meeting before and just talked about what the possibilities would be. And then when you saw the name come up, there was just a shot of adrenaline in the whole building. So the goal was to be in the CFP at this point. That was it when you started the season. Here we are. Strange way to get here, but that's it at the end of the day. So it's a new season. And you learn from the past, and there's been precedence on this. You know, you look last year, you know, Georgia, you know, lost to Alabama in the SEC championship. I think it was 41-24, and it went on to win the whole thing. So, you know, now it's just a matter of what we do moving forward. Certainly, you know, the game at the end of the year is going to be in the back of our minds as motivation, but now it's just all about maximizing this month.
So I guess he's talking about the Woody Hayes football office building.
I don't know.
So he said excitement in the Woody.
Yeah. Coach Day, what do you think about that rematch with Georgia?
Certainly a lot of energy and life in the Woody today. So.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. They do things differently.
It's kind of weird that kind of excitement comes from a bulldog, though. You think maybe another person, but from a dog?
Yeah. It's just different. There's a different group up there. They don't want to play home playoff games if selected. Not playing them here in Columbus. But to each their own, I guess. I don't know. Kirby Smart, who will be coaching the Dawgs against the Ohio State Buckeyes. What he thinks about the matchup with Toshu.
Well, I'm excited. What a great program. What a great job Ryan's done there. They got a lot of really good players because we recruit a lot of the same kids, and they've got a tremendous program. It'll be a premier matchup, which our guys love. And, you know, when you make the Final Four, whether you're 1 through 4, it really doesn't matter. What matters is how you manage this time building up to this game and the nature of the game, because there's a lot of buildup.
Good old Kirby.
Yep. 6.5-point favorite.
Probably going to be a little bit more for kickoff.
Yeah. What does Ryan Day think about being a 6.5-point underdog?
Certainly a lot of energy and life in the Woody today. So,
All right. We'll see if that continues all Christmas season long.
The Woody?
The Woody. You have life in the Woody? He's talking about Toy Story, right?
I thought he was talking about Woody Hayes.
Oh, Woody Hayes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember Woody who lost his job by, you know, beating up a Clemson football player? Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the player, I mean, in Woody's defense, the player was bigger than him.
And the football player had a helmet on.
And he had pads on.
Yeah. So, and Woody Hayes was like 85 when he took a shot at him. So,
that is Coach Speak, presented by Pat's Archery. They're going to help you fill your list for hunting, fishing, handguns, ammo and clothing, sunglasses, and more. Struggling for the perfect gift for the outdoorsman? A Pat's gift certificate is just right. Merry Christmas from Pat's Archery and Outdoors. Highway 78 in Jasper.
Well, the big news this weekend, outside of the fact that the College Football Playoff Committee decided the four teams it's going to play in the playoff, it was Deion Sanders finally taking a Power 5 job. Boulder, Colorado will be his new home. Some of the things that's been said, some of the things that his athletic director said, just, man, it's going to be a fun time if you're covering the Buffs football program. We'll get into that and the transfer portal when we come back on Three Man Front.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Three Man Front, weekdays,
right here on Jock.
Jock 94.5. 205-834-9450,
or you can interact with us on the Jock's text line, or 800-239-WJOX. Your college football playoff is set. Georgia taking on Ohio State. Georgia, a 6.5-point favorite. That from betonline.ag. Meanwhile, Michigan taking on TCU, the 2 versus 3 seed. Michigan, a 9-point favorite in that one.
So we've been talking about the transfer portal this morning. Over 700 players currently in the transfer portal. Last year, it was right under 2,000 had found their way into the transfer portal. And then when you start looking at these things, Landrum, and you start thinking about in the 2019-2020 academic cycle, 4,757 football prospects entered the portal and 1,788 found not a new home.
Yeah.
38% of prospects who entered into the portal was placed on a team. 38%. In the 2020-2021 academic year, 6,250 football prospects entered the portal. 2,500 found a new home. So it went up from 38% to 41%. In the 2021-2022 academic cycle, 8,210 football prospects entered the portal and 3,332 found a new home, back to 41%. So you see
right
where it's falling here. So the majority of people that go into the transfer portal, they do not find a place to go play. And when you do that, you risk the opportunity of burning the bridge.
Of course.
Of the school that you are currently with. So, but one of the big stories this weekend was Deion Sanders getting the Colorado job. And so when you start looking around Deion Sanders' opportunity, his name was mentioned for the Georgia Tech job. Didn't get a lot of buzz on that.
Right.
You heard his name ultimately at first for Auburn, but I never heard that, that Deion was a legitimate candidate for that job. So he takes the Colorado job. It's a 5-year contract worth $29.5 million. That's an average of $5.9 million per year. He'll make $5.5 million in his first year. He'll get $200,000 raises every year after that. Listen to this. He's going to have a $5 million assistant pool to go out and hire coaches.
Not bad.
Charles Kelly, one of the assistant defensive coordinator positions at Alabama, who's been at Auburn, been the DC at Florida State. He is rumored to be one of the first hires that Deion is going to make there in Boulder. Keep in mind, Colorado only paid Carl Durrell $3.6 million to be their head football coach. And that was the most Colorado had ever paid, ever, for a head football coach. Now they're going to pay $5.9 million for Deion Sanders. So, AD Rick George, he had these interesting comments about Colorado paying almost $2.5 million more for Deion Sanders than what they've ever paid in the past. This is what he had to say about the money.
Well, look, we don't have the money yet, but I know we'll have it. So I'm not worried about that piece.
Okay, let's hear that one more time. You've got an athletic director who just agreed to a contract to a coach for $5.9 million, and this is what he said.
Well, look, we don't have the money yet, but I know we'll have it. So I'm not worried about that piece.
Don't you think that's a pretty big piece there, Landrum?
Yep.
I understand that you're going to get donations. You're hoping to get people that's going to buy season tickets. I get all that. But to pay somebody $2.5 million more, how much do you think Deion Sanders is going to want in the NIL fund? Don't you think that that's going to be have to be pretty healthy?
Yes.
I mean, I know people love Prime. I know they want to be a part of the show, but
they nowadays it's all about you got the best deal. Do you have the best deal? Where am I getting my best deal?
Well, I guess on the positive note, you don't need all $5 million for Deion today. You pay it out over the year, so you at least have some time to do it. But
sure.
That is a little disconcerting that, hey, we're going to give you all this money. When's it coming? At some point.
And don't you love the fact that you've got people at Stanford and California and all those other highfalutin Pac-12 schools? You remember that wanted to shun the SEC and shun other conferences when they pay coaches all this money? Don't you know that they're really proud of their brethren there in the Pac-12 conference by giving Deion Sanders $5.9 million to be a football coach? Those people are probably going crazy behind the scenes. Now, so Deion Sanders, he told everybody folks, you better get ready. I got cameras everywhere. He's got one of his sons that leads their social media department. You've got a documentary being filmed right now. You got all this stuff going on that's surrounding Coach Prime. But this is something that is shocking a lot of people, and we're going to talk about it after you hear this. This is Deion Sanders speaking with the current members of the Colorado football team.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis. Okay. It ain't going to be no more of the mess that these wonderful fans, the student body, and some of your parents have put up with for probably 2 decades now. I'm coming. And when I get here, it's going to be changed. So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're going to get. Because the more you jump in, the more room you make.
Basically telling them, go jump in the portal. I'm bringing luggage. In other words, he's bringing guys with him, including his son,
who right.
he's already announced is going to be the starting quarterback for Colorado. He did come back after he said that at the press conference and said, well, I mean, it's going to be a competition. But basically he had his son stand up at the press conference and said, there's your quarterback.
Yeah, look, and I think that those guys probably appreciate the honesty. Some people say, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. But Deion has a good idea. Deion had a good idea what this roster looked like before he took the job. And he probably went down and went, nope, 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 nope. And Deion's pretty sure about his recruiting abilities. So now you take a Power 5 job, a job that I believe they're going to leave him alone. Here's the keys. I'm going to leave you alone. And I think it's a great hire. And I think especially playing in the Pac-12, being at a school like Colorado, where you're kind of on your own little island, so to speak, your own little mountain resort tucked away.
Mm-hmm.
And his message, what they're going to do, I don't think there's going to be much meddling. And I think ultimately Deion's going to be able to have success there. But almost $6 million a year, that's what it was going to demand. And I know he's got plenty of money. But, no, this is Deion's opportunity to, again, take a job where you've had a program with the exception of Mike McIntyre being the coach and getting them to a Pac-12 championship game. Ultimately, you can get that program back maybe to where they were in the 80s and the 90s.
1-11 this year. That was the record.
Awful. Inexcusable.
1-8 in the Pac-12. So nowhere but going up. But some people on social media took offense to what he was saying, basically saying, hey, look, you know, go ahead and get in the portal. Get out. Hit the road. Whatever the case may be.
I can promise you that he's not the only coach, and because he said that, and it was mic'd up, but I was telling you a story about a former baseball coach that had just gotten to a program, and he inherited a lot of those guys on that roster. And after the first season, he got on there, and he said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and let you know, this many guys, you go ahead, and you can start looking somewhere else, because I'm not bringing any of you blankety blanks back. So you think what Deion said was harsh? I can promise you it's been a lot harsher from other coaches that you would be familiar with.
So he's telling everybody to go jump in the portal. Meanwhile, Arkansas's backup quarterback, Malik Hornsby, has just gone into the transfer portal. He had that one start against LSU, kind of had some mop-up duty at times, but also played in that game. I believe it was Mississippi State game where he played.
All right, so take it, and it's relative to where they are, what they're taking over, expectations, and all of that. Would you say that Deion is the best hire that we've seen in college football so far?
No, I wouldn't. Granted, it's the lowest floor, so to speak. So he's got, I mean, think about it. If he wins 3 games next year, I mean, he's going to be a savior.
Again, though, relative to where they are.
I know, but I still think other hires, just because of the fact that they've had the longevity of proving it.
Yeah,
more than Deion.
And the reason I say that is because where Colorado is and all the things that I just mentioned, they're going to leave him alone, but you're still in the Power Five. I would say Nebraska, that's an uphill climb. And what is the expectation for Nebraska under Matt Rhule? And how is Matt Rhule going to be able to have that wow factor? Not like Deion would, but he's obviously a well-known name. Is he going to be able to have 9-win success, 10-win success? The same with Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. Well, I think he can. What is the expectation? Can he get them, or can either one of those guys get their respective programs on the level of an Ohio State or where Michigan is or in an off year, a Penn State? It's much more of an uphill climb. Deion being at Colorado and being in the Pac-12, heck, I'm saying you're talking about impacting things. They could do it next year. But then think about Kyle Whittingham, his days believed to be numbered at Wisconsin, or excuse me, at Utah, and retiring maybe soon. And then you think about UCLA and USC making the move to the Big Ten. I mean, who is, besides Lincoln Riley and USC, who's going to be that school? I think it's perfect timing, perfect opportunity for Deion. I would just say upside, and yes, you're right, they won one game, but based on what he can do, and you've had other coaches that have been able to bring players in. Mel Tucker was making $2.4 million at Colorado.
Carl Durrell was the highest paid ever, and he was making 3.6.
And Durrell had a little bit of success early. A little bit. I say a little bit. Do we count the COVID year? We do, right? Some coaches, they were able to parlay contracts.
Big time contracts. They won a title. Of course it counts.
Yes, exactly. Throw in Hugh Freeze there in the conversation as well. Hugh Freeze, what did you think on College Game Day, his appearance there on the set from Arlington to come in and do the quick bump? Good? Bad? I mean, they asked him. I thought they asked him the questions that he's been asked before, but
yeah,
thought he handled them well.
No, he did. Just like I thought he handled his own press conference well. I mean, maybe, you know, some of the questions that were thrown to him at the Auburn opening press conference was not quite probably what they should have been, but I thought he handled himself well. Thought his comment about the new practice facility being like Disney World, I thought that was a good line, good quote. I walked away indifferent. I didn't think like it was the best interview I've ever seen, but I didn't walk away going, oh my gosh, what has Auburn done? No. Pretty indifferent.
Trent Dilfer, UAB, he adds Alex Mortensen to his staff, some other additions there to the UAB staff. And then Auburn, nothing official on some of these guys, but it is believed Jake Thornton, Ole Miss offensive line coach coming. There are rumors about that Derek Nix could be following as well. He is the running backs coach. I know he's coached wide receivers and even maybe tight ends. They're on the offensive side of the ball. 15 years he's been at Ole Miss. Some people wondering, will he be named offensive coordinator? But, I mean, Hugh Freeze is going to be your offensive coordinator. Does he choose to let somebody call plays?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that that's a situation where it seemed like every year we were questioning the situation at Auburn, whether Gus Malzahn was calling the plays or whoever was the title of offensive coordinator was calling the plays. I think we all agree that Hugh Freeze is ultimately going to be the guy making the calls. Somebody else might have that OC title, but I think it will be Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, and Ken Austin coming from Liberty and other coaches as well. Flu season's here. You got to make your home healthier with Trane's Clean Effects Home Air Cleaner. It's going to remove up to 99.9% of airborne particles, including those that cause virus. It's 100 times more effective than standard air filters, 8 times more effective than HEPA room filters. Contact a Trane certified dealer for the Clean Effects Air Cleaner.
So the baseball winter meeting started yesterday afternoon. Fred McGriff, former Atlanta Brave, helped them win a World Series championship, the Crime Dog. He was voted yesterday to the Hall of Fame by the Contemporary Committee. I do find it interesting that Greg Maddux was on that committee. So, you know, it was unanimous. But some other guys are really disappointed. Del Murphy did not make it. He continues to get the shaft,
in
my opinion. But the reason I bring up the winter meetings, a little bit of news this morning, the big headline is that Justin Verlander is going to be in the National League East. He has signed with the New York Mets. So you get rid of DeGrom.
Good.
And now Justin Verlander signed a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year option by the Mets.
I would have taken DeGrom versus Verlander just because DeGrom's good for about 13 starts. But yeah. Was that a yell from down the hall?
Yeah. Cole
is
apparently watching Croatia and Japan in the World Cup. Cole was wearing his Croatia jersey today, and
they were an American one the other day, but Royal Croatian.
Okay, All right.
All right, there's another Croatian goal.
All right, good.
It's one up.
They're in the old shootout.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
We call it PKs.
PKs. Okay.
I'm out for the next 4 years.
Yeah,
I could care less.
Yeah, the red zone struggles, they really caught up to the United States against the Netherlands, that vaunted big orange defense. Five questions from Pat. Pat Pondas, it's next.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Three-man hunt, weekdays,
right here on Jax.
Jax 94.5.
Oh, he can't contain the excitement. One Cole Kulick down the hall. It sounds like he's coming to us live from Qatar or Qatar, however you choose to say it. His homeland, apparently, Croatia, has just outdueled Japan in PKs. So Croatia moves on. You think Nick Saban's watching? Bill Belichick watching the Croatian national team?
Well, he had the flag on his jacket or whatever he was wearing on the sideline the other night.
Yeah. Cole is actually wearing shin guards and has his socks pulled up. I don't know what that's for. But, yeah, really, really excited. We always get excited this time of day. Five questions from Pat. This is what we call Pat Ponders.
You're thinking... Tell me what's on your mind.
It's time for Pat Ponders.
All this rain. Hope you're not having regrets. Regretting not calling Alabama Roofing Professionals for your free roof inspection. 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
All right, guys. Before the season, ESPN's playoff predictor had Ohio State as an 81% chance of making the playoff. Georgia was 74%. Michigan was 17%. TCU was less than 0.1%. So according to government statistics, which of these have a better odds of happening to you in your lifetime than TCU preseason odds of making the playoff? Again, their playoff odds were 0.1%.
Can there be more than one answer?
No.
Okay.
There's just one of the following that I'm going to give you is a better chance of happening to you in your lifetime than TCU's odds of making the playoff prior to the season.
Okay.
Option number one, audited by the IRS, getting food poisoning, or being born with an additional finger or toe. One of those three is most likely, statistically speaking, is a better chance of happening to you in your lifetime than TCU making the college football playoff preseason.
It's food poisoning.
You say food poisoning.
Yeah. I'm going to say being born with an extra finger or toe.
Having a wife that worked in neonatal intensive care, it happens a lot more than you think it does.
I knew that. Yeah.
A lot more. But according to the United States government, of the options of audited by the IRS, getting food poisoning, or being born with an additional finger or toe, the one that was most likely to happen with a better odds of TCU making the playoffs is getting food poisoning.
Okay.
That is a 0.16, so barely ahead of TCU's odds.
And that was where I was going because I've obviously had it happen, Dayton Airport being the example, but just to be different because I thought maybe it would be something like off the wall.
So according to the government statistics, since this is not another question, this is just a follow up on this. So which would be next? Would it be being born with an additional finger or toe?
No, it's going to be.
Or being audited by the IRS?
Well, audited, I thought it was 1% of Americans get audited.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
What the government statistics
I will say audited
show.
By the IRS.
Not the digits.
It is the digits.
Okay. Yeah, that still happens a lot.
Audited by the IRS is 0.005. Being born with an additional finger or toe is 0.002.
Okay.
That's what, 1 in 200?
Yeah, 250, something
or
like
2000,
that.
2,000, I think, something like that.
So there you go.
Man. Good job there, Sonny Dykes. Good
beat
job.
Beat the odds.
Garrett Riley. Is Alabama going to get him as OC?
Beat the odds. I don't know. All right, question number two. If you voted for the Heisman Trophy yesterday, who would you have cast your vote for? Some people say this might be the closest ever just because of no one really taking control of it.
I would have voted for Hendon Hooker.
Okay.
Even though he got injured earlier in the season.
So your vote yesterday would have been for Hendon Hooker?
Yeah, I would have voted for Hendon Hooker.
Okay.
Probably C.J. Stroud. He was odds on and the best player throughout most of the season. Yeah, he didn't play his greatest in that last game, but everybody didn't play great in a bunch of games. And he looked the best throughout most of the season. And when there wasn't one that was glaringly better than him, I think I'd give it to him. Maybe a close second might be Max Duggan, which I have a feeling he's going to get invited to New York after that performance against K-State, albeit in a losing effort, but they weren't in overtime if not for him.
And part of mine is Hendon Hooker in the past two seasons, just touchdowns to interceptions, 58 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, and what he was able to do in that offense. And I know it's just by year basis, but no, Hendon Hooker, the schedule that they played, I know they didn't win every game, but I like him more than the other two.
All right, question number three. Did Coach Prime make the right decision on taking the Colorado job, or should he have waited for a better Power 5 job?
See, I think he did make the right decision because I think that, like I said, Colorado being where they are, the expectations, where they've been, the conference they play in, all of that being left alone, not having a whole lot of meddling, absolutely. The downfall would be the colder weather, but Boulder would be I can think of a lot worse places to try to attract. And here's the thing. If you're Dion and your name has already been up and going, you know, apparently, according to some of the drawbacks and the pushbacks has been Prime Academy and some of the stuff that coming across the president's desk, they've kind of balked at. So you've got a Colorado that is willing to go ahead and offer you. This is not a South Florida. This is not another one of those jobs. And I think it's perfect for Dion. So, yeah, I would have absolutely done it.
I don't know if I would have waited for another job. I would have taken one of the other ones that were open. I probably would have taken Georgia Tech if I was him because I think the expectations are much lower there than they will be at Colorado. The expectations are going to be a good bit higher now that you're paying almost double what you've paid your highest coach ever. And now that you set the standard and everything else like that with USC and most likely UCLA about to leave, there's not that much left in that conference now. So the expectations are going to grow even higher. Whereas Georgia Tech, they would have raised with him there, but they still wouldn't have been as massively high as they are where they're at there. So if I can go there, prove that I can win at Georgia Tech with these academic restrictions, I can win anywhere, and then I can write my ticket and get whatever job I want after that.
I go back to Mel Tucker because he finished 5-7 his one season at Colorado. And there was energy and there was excitement with that fan base, and he parlays that into a job at Michigan State where he eventually gets that crazy big contract. So, yeah, you do it at Colorado, and even if Dion goes 7-5, 8-4, or 8-5, it's going to be, okay, well, we've seen Dion coach now at the Power 5, and then that big job will be available and somebody will be ready to hire him, so...
All right, next question. Everyone's been watching the World Cup during the commercial breaks as Cole Kublik was reminding us that Croatia won. So he was going crazy in the office just a couple minutes ago in a shootout, right? Penalty kicks?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, good for them. Would you consider the USA's performance in the World Cup mostly a success or mostly a failure?
Well, you're the United States. We should win in everything.
That's my attitude.
Right. I was texting you on Saturday morning as I was dialed in to the U.S.
You would have thought that Landrum Roberts was Lexi Lawless with the text I was getting on Saturday morning.
You've got the fastest player on the field who refuses to shoot at the goal. He He wants to make the extra pass.
You can't,
like, too many
you can't
extra
score
passes.
Unless you what?
You got to shoot more to score more.
That's right.
We learned that a long time ago. And you won't do it. You had the bunny there inside the box where you could have scored early. Just not, man. Are y'all, you afraid to shoot?
I don't know this lingo.
Kick the ball at the goal.
The bunny in the box?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. I just go basketball terms.
Oh.
You know, the bunny there. Oh, he missed a bunny.
Well, no, I know that in basketball, but
I don't know what it is
in
soccer.
Term in soccer.
No, I don't even know.
Okay. So to you, yes, it was a disappointment.
Yes.
Okay. How about you, John?
If the options are success or failure, since they didn't win at all, they failed. But what, 63 teams are going to fail at this every single year? So it's kind of tough to go in there and assume that you're going to win. But according to the rankings, they were the 16th ranked team going in. So they did what they were supposed to do. They made it to the group of six, the round of 16, made it to the knockout stage. So at least, not having done it in, what, 8 straight years? Granted, that was only, what, 2 more times. But still, not having done it in a good bit, that's promising. It almost feels like, okay, first year with all these young, talented, fun-to-watch kids, you did what you were supposed to do. You got to that next stage. Now show that you can do improvement.
I'm just tired of hearing the, wait, just wait. You think this team, wait 4 yeah. years from now, and then it never comes around.
I think all the money that Fox paid for this.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess the number one market watching the game on Saturday morning? The number one market in the United States.
Please
number
tell
one,
me it was
you will never get this.
Please tell me it was Birmingham.
It was not Birmingham.
Worcester, Mass.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh.
Followed by St. Louis, Missouri.
A couple of players from Missouri, so mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Top two markets watching the Netherlands and their wooden shoes. Beating us.
Dutch. Only thing good the Dutch ever gave us was the oven. That's going to do it. For Pat, for John, I'm Landrum. Matt McLaren! He's next.
This is Three Man Front on Jax 94.5.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.